Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you today. Lee, this is going to be a fun segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast CEO with Scheller Enterprises, Miss Stephanie Scheller. How are you?
I am doing fantastic this morning. How about you?
We are doing great. Stephanie, can you share a little bit about Scheller Enterprises? What are you doing for folks?
Sure. So Scheller Enterprises stemmed from my watching my parents grow up, growing up.
You're a time traveler.
I know, right? I'm very talented. but I grew up watching my parents with their small business. And, you know, seeing the struggle, because anyone who owns a small business knows that there's an awful lot of struggles that pop up. And then the more I grew, the more businesses I worked with, the more I realized this wasn't exclusive to them. And so my goal, I created this company after working with, 500, 600 companies to sit down and look at how can we help these businesses not just survive, not just stay in business, but thrive and get to the point where they actually enjoy owning their business. So that's what we do.
So now when you say work with businesses, business is such a broad term. What are their kind of common denominators of all these businesses? Are they solopreneurs? Are they, business coaches? Are they manufacturing firms? What type of businesses do you normally serve?
The majority of my current clients are pretty much business to business, people who are targeting B2B, but it's all small businesses. I haven't done a ton of work with manufacturing, so I wouldn't, say that that's my forte by any stretch of imagination, but a lot of it is B2B. We've got a lot of, not just solopreneurs though, although I love working with a solopreneur because I see, there's so much potential there and they're so excited. And usually they're early in their career and they're super pumped to have their own business. But I've got companies that I work with that are, 15, 20, 30 employees and multiple millions each year. And then I've got the little lady who's doing $50,000, a year and just saying, hey, there's gotta be, it's amazing how quickly that $50,000 disappears. There's gotta be more than this.
So now how do you serve those people? Like I would imagine it's a different way to serve that person that has a $100,000 business as opposed to the one that has, a $2 million business.
Yeah, you're right. And the challenges that these guys all face tend to differ. I've found that once you get above about $150,000, $200,000 in gross revenue for the year, your business challenges tend to shift and change. Usually under 200,000, under 150, you're having the same problems as everyone else who's under 150, under 200.
What are those problems?
Their problem is not having enough sales, not having enough cash flow to grow. They usually have some idea of what they would love to do if they could get more sales and more cash flow in. But for whatever reason, maybe it's they're at that point where they're juggling, being the business owner and being the operator to where they're having to make the sales and fulfill on the sales, but they don't make enough money yet.
Right.
Or they're just not out there selling, period. And I run into those business owners all the time.
That they spend too much time doing actually the work and not enough doing the kind of business development.
Yeah, basically where they're sitting there and they're going, hey, I'm great. I'm a great software coder. And they go and they code software for 8 hours a day. And then they go, I don't have anybody to code software for. I'll go code more software and hope I can sell it later. Instead of like going out there and making sales, get someone to hire you to create that software instead of you just coding it for the heck of it.
Now, how do you work with those people who are kind of sales averse, where they don't feel comfortable in the sales role maybe, or they in their head maybe have a negative perception of selling?
That is a really good question because I would say easily 80% of people out there have a negative perception of sales. We have a couple of courses. We have an online course. We have some actual classes and stuff we do. But the majority of, the process is basically we look at, okay, what is your perception of selling and sales? And most of them have a very, well, salespeople are pushy, salespeople are aggressive, they're liars, they're cheaters. And so we say, okay, that's all fine and dandy. Let's define what sales means for you, because for you, it's got to mean something else. You've got to decide that, hey, selling is my key to success. Selling is creating the win-win situation. Selling is about educating my prospects, and redefine sales for yourself. And then it's a process of telling yourself this new definition of sales over and over and over until eventually you actually start to believe it and you start to embrace the idea of being in sales.
Well, having worked with so many businesses, why do you think that that kind of thinking exists in today's world when each one of these people are out there battling and they've had to sell something, and I'm sure they don't see themselves in the manner that they assume other people see them in?
Yeah, I think it's because, I mean, if you look at like just the basic general, the media, and I hate to say the media in general, but you know, like I always go back to the Bugs Bunny cartoons because they're classic and a lot of us grew up on them. Even me, I'm a millennial. I grew up on a lot of those cartoons. And you know, you go back to, there's a Bugs Bunny cartoon with the sales guy in the jungle trying to sell silverware to a bunch of, you know, it doesn't say where these guys are, but right. And it's making complete fun of the sales guy for being pushy and stupid and sick. And, you know, then we have commercials that pop up that pick on the salespeople, and you have, you know, so we've all had a bad experience with someone who didn't know how to sell well. And then the media, you know, the cartoons, the commercials perpetuate that bad experience again and again and again and again, to where we get this idea of, oh, salespeople are slimy. And so then we have the issue where the business owner goes, I don't want to be a salesperson. I'm not selling. I'm helping people.
Right.
So then the problem is now they're saying, I'm not a salesperson. So they refuse to learn sales skills. And sales skills are just tactics you can use to help your prospect see how you can help them out. I mean, if you have a good product or service, you should be totally up for wanting to learn how to sell that to people, in my opinion.
Now, I think that something that also goes hand in hand with that is that once you have a difficult time just with the concept of selling, you probably also have a difficult time of valuing your service at the right number.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yes, 100%. Because you start to, if you can't sell, first of all, if you can't sell yourself on why someone should buy from you, I'm not sure how you're going to sell anybody else. And for a lot of these solopreneurs, since we're talking solopreneurs are the ones who have the most of these problems, for a lot of these solopreneurs, they're literally selling themselves. And so when they get the price objection, when they get any kind of objection, they take it very personally. And it starts to become a self-confidence issue where they start to say, oh, well, maybe I'm not worth that. Maybe I'm not good enough for all this stuff. And, you know, yeah, that becomes a big problem because people buy you. And if you're hesitant, if you're not confident in what you're asking for, no one else is going to either.
So now, as part of your services, are you helping people kind of get through these mental blocks that they have to help kind of raise, I don't want to say you raising their self-esteem, but at least improving their confidence to go out there and get the amount of money they, you know, deserve for the work that they're doing?
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, Lee, a lot of it comes back to perspective. We as human beings tend to be pretty hard on ourselves. My husband's always reminding me, he's like, Stephanie, so maybe you didn't hit your goal, but seriously, like you did three times as much as anybody else would have accomplished this month. And you're really upset because you didn't hit one of the five goals you set. And that's just us. We get really hard on ourselves. So a lot of times, I think it's just perspective. What I end up doing for a lot of these guys, and this is a perfect example, I'm working with this one young lady right now who has a really cool idea and a really cool product, but she's been giving it away for free for so long that she's like, no one's going to pay me for this stuff. No one's going to give me any money. And I'm like, here's what you need to do. You need to sit down and list out all the reasons people would pay you. Instead of telling yourself over and over again, no one's going to pay, no one's going to pay, start looking at all the reasons people would pay, because from what I see, again, perspective shift, what I see, people will be, you know, killing themselves to pay you.
Now, when you're working with these clients, are they typically kind of hyper-local clients, or are you working with clients that have customers all over the country or the world?
I have worked with people in Australia. I've worked with people in the UK. I've worked with people in Europe, and I've worked with people in California. It doesn't have to be local. I try and do, you know, whenever I'm working with someone long distance, I try and do like a Zoom or a Skype so we can see each other, because you pick up a lot of emotional cues. And a lot of what I am doing, especially in this part of the process, is emotional. So I like to pick up those emotional cues. But I mean, local doesn't have anything to do
with it. Right. I figured your clients were elsewhere, but are your clients' clients elsewhere? That was my question.
Oh, are my clients' clients elsewhere? I'm trying to run through my head right now. The majority of them all seem to be pretty local to that actual business, now that I'm thinking about it.
So like if they're in, Palm Beach, California, their clients are in Palm Beach, California.
Yeah, for the most part. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who is like, oh yeah, no, this guy is like, I'm pretty sure that for the most part, they're all pretty local to themselves.
Now, I read in your information you sent that you want to disrupt the way the world does business. What does that mean to you?
Well, so I look at it this way. Right now, we still have kind of the ugliest stats out there. I jokingly say, you know, your odds of success in business are worse than Vegas. You go into business and within 18 months, 8 out of 10 new businesses will be out of business. You have a very, very small chance of actually being successful in business, and success just being defined as staying in business, much less making money. You still got 67% of the businesses that make under 250K a year either breaking even or losing money. So those numbers to me don't work, because I look at, you know, kind of the global perspective. To me, we've already proven that monopolies don't work very well unless they're regulated. And that goes into a whole nother conversation I'm not going to start. But monopolies don't work. They don't take care of the little guy. And the only thing that's keeping us from having a monopolistic society is these small to medium sized businesses. And if we keep pushing them out of business, and we currently have more of them going out of business each month than starting up, if we keep pushing them out of business, we're heading toward the monopolistic society. So my goal is to change the way that we go into business by getting people to look for education and support before they just have an idea and start a business, so that they can actually set themselves up from the get-go to be successful, instead of trying to be reactive and put out fires and spending all your time being reactive. You'll never get to being proactive, and proactive is where business gets fun.
Now, I guess you were fortunate to have grown up where your parents are role modeling how to be a business person. And a lot of people out there don't have that gift that you were given. So they're kind of figuring stuff out for the first time and going through that perpetual learning curve that business is. So is your system kind of a education, like you have a way to kind of give them the next level of education that may be different than a college education would be, or high school education, or even a vocational education?
Yeah. So everything that I've done, I mean, you're right. I was really lucky, and I do recognize that, you know, with my parents raised me on the Rich Dad, Poor Dad books and watching them be business owners. So I got a very different perspective than most people. But everything I've pulled together, my entire system, I've worked with 600 plus companies over the past 5 years. And everything I've pulled together has been based on watching. I was always a watcher. My mom would always joke that when I was a kid, my sister would get in trouble for something and I would sit and watch. And then I would never do that thing that my older sister just gotten in trouble for, because I was such a watch and learner. I would rather watch you make the mistake, you get in trouble, you get spanked, and then I go not get spanked. So that's what I did. I just watched these 600 companies, saw what they were doing. And, you know, what I teach everybody is, as long as you stay inside the sales or the business cycle, you can build your business as big as you want to safely. You're not going to go out of business as long as you stay focused on sales and systems first and foremost. And then when you're ready, adding in the marketing. So I'm not totally sure that answers your question about how to get them the next level of information, But everything that I pull, everything I teach is pulled straight from working with these companies. It's all stuff that has been used and done. None of it is theory. And a lot of it comes down to just having a conversation with the business owner and then saying, okay, this is what you need from here to move yourself forward, to put them into the right place.
Now, how does an engagement typically work with you? So some businesses out there, maybe they're struggling, maybe they plateaued, maybe they're just frustrated. They, you know, find you, they go to your website, shellerenterprises.com, and, you know, they reach out to you. What's an engagement look like typically?
Well, the first thing that I'm going to ask them to do is just to have a conversation with me. I've learned over the past few years that there are a lot of business owners out there who don't actually want to grow and don't actually want to change, because growth is difficult. Change is painful. So I always say, if you're, you know, first thing we're going to do is just have a phone conversation, make sure we get along, because I don't want to work with the business owners that I'm not going to be able to make a change for whatever reason. Either, you know, they don't want the change to actually happen, or, you know, and every so often you find something that's outside my expertise area, and I don't want to ever take on a client that's outside that expertise area. So everything goes with, hey, let's just set up a 10, 15 minute phone call. If we're getting along well from there, then we will set up a 2-hour strategy session. Or I'll direct you into one of the courses. If one of the pre-set up courses is going to actually help you better than a one-on-one session, I'll put you over there instead of working with me one-on-one. But everything kind of starts with that first little free call. And usually I'll find, like, at the end of the call, I've shared 2 or 3 ideas for these business owners that they'd never thought about, never looked at for their business, you know, to help them overcome whatever problem they're facing that, you know, they'd never crossed their mind, just because it just didn't. We get so caught up in our current situation.
Now, do you find that the challenges usually are in one of those 3 buckets, sales, systems, or marketing?
100% of the time. I have yet to find someone who's having a problem outside of those. So for me, sales is everything from lead generation through actually closing the sale. Systems is how you process and handle the sales. So that's going to include your hiring, your firing, your employees. It's going to include your machinery if you need machinery. It's going to include basically everything on the back end of how you take care of your clients. So your customer service system, your fulfillment system, your delivery system, whatever it is. And that also includes your financials, like understanding your financials and tweaking the other systems based on your financials, which we do have problems there occasionally. Usually I'll find when someone gets above about $250,000 in revenue, we have to really start watching those profit and loss statements and the cash flow statements pretty closely, because mismanagement of cash flow can cause as much of a problem as not having enough sales.
Now, when they're under 250, then they're, sales is kind of the biggest challenge, that sales solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, someone told me the other day, I was laughing. He said, "Stephanie, any problem in the world goes away if you have enough money to throw at it." I just laughed. I was like, I don't know that I totally agree with that, but there is a lot of truth behind that. That, you know, when you have enough sales coming in, pretty much any problem can be solved, and it just comes down to getting enough sales. And occasionally you do have a fulfillment issue, and that, you know, the business owner can't do sales and fulfillment. So then you have to do this juggling act for a couple months where you hire help or you arrange help, and then it frees you up to go do sales. But yeah, 90% of the time for these small businesses, it's a sales issue.
Now, systems are an important component. You've used that word quite a bit. Is this something that you build systems around each of these activities so that they're replicatable?
Correct. So my goal is to set these business owners up so that they do not have a job anymore. Because most business owners don't realize when they went to go start their own business was that they really just gave themselves a job that's going to make them work even harder than they were working for someone else. So my goal is to help these business owners create reproducible, replicatable systems so that they could hire someone else to run it. I mean, I know people who have set up their business. Like, I know one gentleman who, I don't know the entire story behind it, so I have no clue if he was at fault or not, but he went to jail for 3 years and his company kept running and kept creating profit and kept creating money for him the entire time he was in jail, couldn't really communicate with his guys very well. They just ran the business because he had that good of a business set up. And that's the point. You know, we as business owners, you take on all this risk to build a business. There's supposed to be some reward behind that too.
Was he in a gang? That sounds like a lot of gangs.
I should probably shy away from the answer to that. I don't know if he's going to hear this and come after me.
So now, do you see common mistakes that business owners make?
I would say the most common mistake, and I was kind of trying to sum it up, you know, thinking about this, like, what is the biggest, because I get asked this one a lot. And, you know, you can pick on, oh, well, there's this reoccurring mistake and this one. But when you look at like the four or five reoccurring mistakes that people make, the biggest one behind it is actually something I mentioned earlier, no real strategy, being reactive, constantly reacting to, you know, like, well, we're not going to deal with that until it actually becomes an issue. I'm not going to hire until I absolutely have to. And then when I go to hire people, all of a sudden, it's going to be a panic mode. I'm going to hire the first qualified person I find. I'm going to throw them to the wind. They're not going to get enough training. And then I'm going to wonder what the heck happened 9 months later when they quit on me and I'm in a tough place again. So we get all these people, or they wait, you know, until the bank account is at the bottom before they freak out and go start pursuing sales. So the biggest, the sum up is operating from a reactive space instead of proactive, instead of planning, instead of thinking and spending time in that space of how do I make this business work? They just spend time in how do I keep this business from dying? And that, unfortunately, two very different mindsets, and one of them will put you out of business. One of them will make your life heck. The other one makes your life a lot more enjoyable.
Now, for your business, you have invested a lot of time in writing books. You've done TED Talks. You've do a lot of speaking. How important is that for other business owners to get out there and kind of educate the marketplace of, you know, about their superpowers?
Well, that really depends on how big your marketplace is and who your target market is. You know, I don't think that every single person out there needs to write and publish a book and take it to bestseller status. I don't think that every single person out there needs to go do a TED Talk, right? If all of us become special, then none of us are special type of thing. But if your marketplace is big, you know, I know a guy who he does credit repair, and I've watched him over the past 3 years. He's gone from, I just want to be my little local credit repair company to, you know what, Steph, I want to dominate the US. And they're launching into 6 additional states this year. And he's publishing a book and he's starting to get on radio shows and TV shows. And he's looking to do it because now suddenly he's wanting to be a larger player across the board. If you're just wanting to say, hey, you know what, Steph, I just want to own my little city. I just want to own my space. You don't have to publish a whole book. You could just put out some really, really good blog posts. Although I do think content creation is valuable because it does set you up as a leader. And the way that our sales environment has shifted over the past few years is that we really appreciate having that information. We don't like buying from someone who can't show us that they're worth it. We like being able to get that info. So I do recommend people put out info, blog posts or video recordings. Put stuff out there, but you know, unless you're going for a national stage, unless you're trying, like I'm trying to do, where I'm trying to get people to realize that there's a problem with how we're running businesses. Unless you're going for that national stage and trying to spread a message across the globe, I don't know that you need to necessarily pursue every venue I've pursued, but I do think content creation and promotion in your area are very valuable.
Well, how can we help? What is the pain that a person is having, or a company, a small company is having, where Scheller Enterprises is the solution?
The biggest pains that I hear again and again are people who no time and no money, right? I don't have enough, or either or, right? I have plenty of money, but I have no time because I'm having to run everything in the business, or I have no money and no time because I'm trying really hard, or I have no time and no money. So those are really the pain points. If for the people who are out there who are stressed out, no pain or no time, no money. Those are the guys that I would love to talk to them and at least give them a couple of ideas to help them out, because that place they're at, I've been there in my own business too, as we were building it, because you do go through a phase, but it should be a phase. It shouldn't be 3 years or 2 years of pain and frustration.
Stephanie, this is Stone here. Where can our listeners go to have a conversation with you or someone on your team about some of these topics and just to learn more? And where can they get their hands on some of these materials that you've already crafted, books and so forth?
Well, if they go to, there's a single site they can go to that's going to give them a lot of that info. It is thestephanieschellar.com. That is the, like, the one and only. So T-H-E, T as in Tom, H-E as in Echo. Stephanie Scheller, and Scheller is spelled the German way. So you've got an S for Sierra, C for Charlie, H for hotel, E for Echo, L-L, E for Echo again, R for Romeo.com.
Fantastic. Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show today. Keep up the good work, and let's do this again sometime.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. I love it. Thank you guys so much for having me and giving me a chance to talk.
Absolutely our pleasure. All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Stephanie Scheller with Scheller Enterprises, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.